the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
About that. You know, there's people out here in the world that are confused. I went through my news feed. I literally got nauseous. I have to turn that noise off. I can't even believe some of the things that people are saying. And they're just, you know, that keyboard courage. They just out there talking about absolutely nothing. Sounding so stupid. So stupid. 85 years old, 75 years old, talking about they don't have a mask, knowing that they're high risk at these doggone rallies. I don't care who's showing up, okay? Yeah. Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson and Prince can all come back from the dead, and I wouldn't be. I'm not going out. I'm not, you know, but I'm not going to live in a bubble either. You know, because fear, that's a part of the psychological control, because that's what it is, mainstream media, over and over and over again. I can't turn the channel without, you know, these inflated numbers. I don't believe all of these numbers. Now, I do that know that it is critical, okay? And I know some people that have been very sick, but I don't believe these inflated numbers. Do you believe these inflated numbers about the impact of the coronavirus?
I think that there are more cases than presented on the media, because I think there was a country in South Africa, I read up on the news, that it was like preventing the world from knowing the actual numbers. But it's actually Tanzania now that I think about it. But what happened was that the government was preventing the world from knowing the numbers, and they were like, we don't have COVID, we don't have anything, and they were not taking any precautions. But the people within Tanzania, they were seeing that a lot of people are dying, a lot of people are going to a hospital every day. So I think that what the media presents is just a small portion of what's really happening, because not everybody is tested. And that's what I fear, is that I might not know if I have it right now, but the least I could do is take precautions so that I don't pass that on.
Well, you know what cracks me up is that, okay, you take the test now, you self-isolate for 14 days, you go back out in the world, you can be infected then when you go out.
It just doesn't, I feel that COVID tests, first off, they should be free, and we should meticulously have a strategy on how we implement things. Because if I get quarantined for 14 days, I've been educating myself on COVID and it's just mutating into a different strain. So 14 days, you may still be asymptomatic, and the symptoms may not show. And even after 14 days, you may not know that you have it. So now the time that it also develops, we are also uncertain. So I wish that we could have that 14 days in place. Then we could have testing, the process of testing taking place so that we can make sure that nobody infects the other.
And in addition to that, I noticed that, Bill Gates is the first one jumping on the bandwagon that got the vaccine, and the first place he wanna test it is in Africa. What your thoughts about that? Always using us for guinea pigs, you know?
I had a conversation with my mom on Friday, and I was telling her that, I just saw the news and I'm surprised South Africa is having vaccines. What is all that about? And my mom was like, she's not taking the vaccines, because these are not actually vaccines. These are trial vaccines. So we are being tested as guinea pigs. And honestly, this is where politics really comes in. And it comes in critically to think of, like, are our governments protecting us? Are our governments setting restrictions from powerful countries to take advantage of the countries that are mostly disadvantaged? And honestly, most African governments are not. Considering the West African countries, Nigeria, what is happening there, and what is happening all over Africa, looking into the African-Chinese relationship, it just shows how corrupt our government are and how our government would do anything to have the money. So I don't think this is really responsible of our government.
I don't either. And you know, when I was in China, I couldn't believe it. I didn't really realize the cohesiveness between the Chinese and the Africans. They're very tight. And the Africans were mean to me. They were meaner to me than the Chinese. You know, and I was like, you know, I wasn't trying to piggyback on anything because I was Black. I just thought, you know, that it would be warm and inviting. It was very, very segregated, met with very mean looks. They knew I was a Black American. And that's one thing that I, you know, that I do. I don't really say that I'm an African American, because if you are a white Africana, you're an African American. I don't associate with that. I'm a Black American woman. And that's not to take anything away, but when we did the census here in California, I'm doing the census and I go to one of the local, because we have a very strong African community here, not too far from where I live. And I said, okay, would you like to fill out the census paperwork? And they said, yes. And they looked and they looked and they said, well, where do we bark our box? And I said, well, you know, Black. Oh no, we're not Black Americans. Oh no, we're Africans. There was no box for Africans, baby. Remember that you are an immigrant, you're a guest here. And so whatever money comes into the community, they're going to look at your color, unfortunately. That's all that they can see. It's very unfortunate. So now we have other issues here with immigrants, with the detainees of these young children that have been separated from their parents in these detention camps. What do you think about that?
There's just a lot going on in my mind, because when you talk about detention, detaining camps, I recall the Uyghurs in China, not the Han Chinese, but then the Muslim Chinese in China that are being taken into detention camps, and they being educated like about the Chinese whole communism thing. And period, I don't think that we should separate anyone from their family. We should separate people from their culture. And I don't think that we should detain people away from the society. I'm not sure if I understood that correctly, but then if it's detention based on like, what is the situation around it?
Well, you know, it's President Trump don't like Mexicans. So he said, you know what, I'm gonna build a wall. And if you come across that wall, I'm gonna separate you. But when I separate you, I'm gonna put your kids over here and I'm gonna send you back. So now these children are not tagged. They're not swabbed. They're not being taken care of. They're young. I mean, 2 years old. You know, some two-year-olds are still being nursed. And it is a horrible situation. And what you were just speaking about, is that what I just read in the news that's going on where Mr. 45 agreed with the Chinese to build these concentration camps? Is that...
It's pretty much related. It's about the Uyghurs, the Muslim Chinese people who are put in detention camps, and instead they are stayed, which is called I forgot the actual name, but then they are now taking over their state to build bridges between other countries. So they're taking over their land to do their, to fulfill their political interests. But then period, I don't think that anybody should be separated from their family. No. With the immigration situation in America, I honestly just don't get it. And I'm going to say it, period, that I am against most of the regimes that Trump is ruling out. Because I have, you know what's painful is that I have friends who support Trump. And they're Black. And I mean, of course, you should have your opinion, but then I ask myself that, have you caught up on the news with what's actually happening? Do you know how do Black people live in the USA? Do you know all the situations that's going on? So period, I don't think anyone should be separated from their family, especially the Mexicans. And I don't think that the American administration is serving Americans well as immigrants.
Well, he's going down. And I tell you, I'm watching this with a cup of tea and some cookies. Okay? This is just like a reality show. You know,
that's why we should vote.
It's unbelievable. But I just don't know why folks aren't held accountable for their actions. Because you are the king, you're the queen, whatever. You should be held accountable for war crimes. You should be kicked out of the country. There's a lot of countries that will take you in the middle of town and bury you neck high and stone you. You know, there's got to be some consequences for your actions.
I think it's rooted in the whole ideology of capitalism. The idea that the more you have in life is the more you prosper. Because I feel like even us, the education system that we learn, it's a rat race. It's like we're all running into this whole ideological facade that says you need to be the best of the best, get the most degree, get this, get that. So I feel like all of it, it's based on materialistic value. And since a lot of us value that, we see capitalism as a success, and we forget the basic values of humanity, and we forget that in order to be able to restore a society of peace, we need to have some level of socialistic values in place. And that will not match up if we are still being separated of who has the most power and who has the least power.
Exactly, because we're all God's children. Let me ask you something. You know, we talked a little bit about Black Lives Matter. And so I am definitely pro-LGBTQ.
Absolutely.
The community. But do you think that they should also piggyback on the Black Lives Matter movement? I mean, when it came to equality and it came to, when it came to same-sex marriages, we marched under your flag, okay? Yeah. This is a different set of circumstances. What would you say to that group?
I feel that because Black people are also, they are LGBT, they are Black people who identify themselves as part of the LGBT community. And I feel that the LGBT community at large should take part in the movement. There have been cases in the past, which is why now the new LGBT flag, we include like different color schemes of brown and black, because within even the LGBT community, there's racism going on every aspect. And there's a lot of, there's just a lot of issues that are within the LGBT community that I feel like I'm not satisfied with. For instance, the gay pride parade, I don't like how it's represented. And there's just a lot of things. So I just feel that the LGBT community needs to support Black Lives Matter, and they need to be active, and the allies need to educate themselves, and they need to ask questions, and they need to participate actively within the Black Lives Matter movement, because Black people, especially Black women, they were there for the movement. They were there for same-sex marriage. They were there for same-sex marriage. So I feel like the LGBT community needs to do that as well for the Black community at large.
Right, because, you know, it's a different, I don't pick up everybody's cause. You know, a lot of people say, what type of activist are you? I'm a social activist. Wherever my voice and my platform can be used for the most good and is in alignment with my values, that's the flag I'm going to pick up and run with. But outside of that, everything is not for everybody. What is your feelings about acculturation and assimilation? And the reason why I ask that is that, you know, do you feel that everybody should just go along to get along, and that we're all equal, and that we all, we don't see color? I don't believe that. I want to see your unique.
I wish I could say I don't see color, because that's my dream world. I want to live in the world where when I walk outside and go to restaurants, I don't face racism. I'm not seen for my skin color. But that's not the case, because my color does matter in this world. My color determines what kind of opportunities I get. My color determines how hard I need to work, because as a Black person, even to get this scholarship, I had to work 3 times as harder than my white counterparts. So in a lot of ways, I feel like my skin color has been profiled so much so that it has to matter. It ought to matter. And in a lot of ways, I feel that people who say they're colorblind, they need to educate themselves on the history.
They need to be an ophthalmologist is what they need to do.
Absolutely. Because talking about this, I recall the civil rights movement, Miss Nina Simone, and the Black Panther movement, the Children's March. And I feel that people who say they don't see color, they should educate themselves on that, then have a more reformed and a more stable opinion.
And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I just think, what was it, a year and a half, 2 years ago, that the children here in the United States were marching for their lives, for their very lives, to be able to go to school and it'd be safe without gun violence.
Yeah, it's...
45 did not support that. There's been so many things. That's why I said, so, you know, people are just looking at it through rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, good.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I feel that, how do I say this in the best way that it doesn't come off as offensive or as...
You know what? You keep it 100 here, and if anybody gives any slack, they get blocked.
I want to keep it real, and I want to address the fact that we forgot whose shoulders we're standing on. We forgot the civil rights movement. We forgot Dr. King. We forgot the Black Panthers. We forgot the greats, Nina Simone. We forgot Angela Davis. We forgot Nelson Mandela. So I feel that in a lot of ways, we are being complacent because we live in so much comfort now, because it's the 21st century. It's like, now that we got to a point where we're comfortable, we still protest, but then we like, oh, I want to protest, but I still want to keep the little privilege that I have.
I still want to keep my white privilege Visa card.
Yeah, you know, and it also includes us as Black people, that we want to protest, but we still want to keep some of the privileges there and there, because we are part of the system and we don't want to lose some of the privileges that within the system. But I feel that studying the civil rights movement and studying the Black Panthers, you can't be complacent and be comfortable at the same time. Those don't work together. And it just brings tears in my eyes that the children, when the Children's March had occurred, those kids had the audacity to march their lives. The youngest child, when I saw the footage, the documentary, was 4 years old. And if a 4 years old kid could say, I want my own equality, if a 4 years old kid could say that out loud, then who am I to stay comfortable and just tiptoe around protesting and tiptoe around activism as if it's a joke? So I feel that in order for a revolutionary to be reached, and in order for Black Lives Matter movements not to repeat itself in the next generation, then a revolutionary must happen, I feel. I feel that the problem is within the system, because Black people in America and Black people all over the world never had a place of their own. I'm recalling how, as an African person, I'm being educated, and most of the history is European history. And I'm like, come on now, people. Was I educated of the... You know, I'm like, was I ever educated on the African culture? Because it breaks my heart today that I do not know my own history, Miss April. It breaks my heart that I know more about the Holocaust than I know about myself. And it's so painful, because a lot of African people, young African people now, they're being separated from their history. And if you can look at South Africa, it's becoming more westernized. And as it becomes that, we see the white man as our savior. And that's when we fall into the system. That's when we become trapped within the capitalist economy, the white economy. And I say that in order for Black lives to be equal in this world, then as Black people, we need to reinvest in ourselves. We need to support.
Let me tell you something. We are on the same page. I swear, yeah. I think it's come from my womb. What we have to do as Black people is we have to be self-sustainable, okay?
Absolutely.
We need to have our own cryptocurrency. We need to have our own buildings. They burned down Black Wall Street. We cannot fight a 21st century war with 1960 tactics. It's great to march and scream and holler. And if we were the true barbarians and monsters and beasts that we are perceived to be, then we should have had this shit handled a long time ago.
Absolutely. And the civil rights, because I see this that as history repeating itself.
That's
2016,
right.
We had the Black Lives Matter protest. 2020, here we come again. What's the problem? So I asked myself, and this is the message to all Black folks, that check the shampoo that you're using. Where does it come from? Small little things. Where does that come from? Are you supporting your Black brothers and sisters? Are you investing in your own people? And what I'm saying in this, I'm saying this because we live in a world of white economy. And until as Black people, we establish our own economy and we establish our own and we rebuild our own society and we reinvest back in ourselves.
That's right. That's right.
We'll
That's
keep on coming back in this. Yes. And to just get side note.
I go in to get my hair products. I'm going to an Asian retailer. And I go in and she doesn't speak to me. And I read her her rights. I read her for filth. I said, how dare you? How dare you take my money, but you can't look me in the eye and acknowledge me. And now when I go in there, you would think I was the Queen of Sheba. She makes it a point. She gives me personalized service, okay? She carries my basket because I will read you your rights. And then I look at the Jewish community, entertainment industry. They've got it locked up. You know, we've got one pivotal person, Tyler Perry, and then you've got Oprah Winfrey. And they just all bow down to them. There are other smart people out there. There are other innovators. There are other media people that are producing. Absolutely. Nothing to say is wrong with them. And then another thing, why are we still piggybacking off of what Martin Luther King said? Where is the Martin Luther King of the 21st century? I know Barack is tired, him and Michelle, okay? And I know that he did not want to have to come out and speak up against 45. He was trying to relax on the golf course. He had served his 8-year term. But now here he is. He's got to come out of retirement to try to save us. I'm not real excited about who, you know, Joe Biden. I'll say his name. I'm not excited because I think in my own mind that there's a sense of entitlement that I've fought this fight and I've been in here. You know, I've had my dog in the race all this time and now it's my time to shine. But he better perform. Because if he doesn't, let me tell you, folks is looking at you, Mr. Biden, okay? We're looking at you. We're not going to take this anymore. Yeah. We're going to change legislation. Yeah, we're going to change the legislation. We're going to change the rules of engagement. I say change the people's house instead of the White House. When I go to the White House, when you come to the United States, I don't know if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., but right across the street from there is still a slave shack, okay? And we're the ones that probably built the bomb shelter that the coward ran into. You know? So there's a lot going on. And I can't even imagine what's going on in South Africa because it's black on black crime. That's what hurts. Is it black people turning on your own black people to do nothing?
There's femicide going on. There's black men killing black women, black people on black people. This is why I feel like my life's purpose has something to do with making people realize that, guys, we need to wake up. We need to understand ourselves. We need to understand where we come from. And this all has to do with education. What education are we being taught as Black folks? Because it seems like we don't know our own history.
We don't.
And in order to save the generation, I say that let's reconstruct the whole education system. I mean, yeah, we tiptoe around that Africa, the land of poverty, the land of this and that, but we never talk about African mathematicians. We never talk about who invented, you know, scientific projects, who invented lighting. We never talk about that. We never talk about Black people and their roles in advancing the world because we think that Black people were primitive in the history, and we think that the white man came and handed us an apple and said, you could chop this up with a knife. There we go, civilization. But we need to educate our own people that we know the sciences, we know the mathematics, we know the metaphysics, we know spiritualism. We need to be more aware of ourselves. And when we're more of ourselves, then we'll be able to reconstruct these systemic setups that have been set up to be against us, that never left even a single place for us in this world.
Well, I'm so glad you're in my world. I am. And I love you deeply. You know I do. And I'm watching you and I'm supporting you and I'm encouraging you. And it's young people like you, you baby, that are going to make the difference. You're going to be the ones that our next generation is going to read about in the history books. You are going to be the one that is going to change the trajectory of the corruption. You are going to be the one that makes Black Lives Matter. And thank you so much for being here with me. I'm watching you. You know I am. And I'm just, you know, again, like I said, I'm not going to worry about you. I'm just going to continue to care about you. Okay?
Thank you so much, Miss April. Thank you.
I love you, boo. And I'll talk to you real soon. Okay? Brains, go back and listen to other heavy conversations. I'm telling you. And if you can't handle it, I'm sorry. But we keep it 100 here. That's the only way I know how to do it. You know, I have to be fair and equitable. And if you have any questions, concerns, comments, please leave them. I'm open for a good dialogue, a good conversation. You got some questions for Lucas. Follow him on his YouTube channel, too, because he's doing some great things. Tell him about your YouTube channel before we go.
So the goal of my YouTube channel is to promote wellness and healthy living. And through that is to just make awareness of taking care of yourself and taking care of your body, because that matters. If you want to make some real change in this world, you got to take care of you first so that you'll be there to make the change. So my YouTube channel is called Lucas Chokwe, my name, A Journey of Self-Growth. And you can find me on there and on Instagram as well, and as well on Facebook at Lucas Chokwe.
Lucas Chokwe, he's the man. All right, bye, baby. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.